Brothers, we are back for another episode of Out of Bounds. How's everyone today?
Yep, you know.
We good.
Yeah, you better be good, mate. We have Michael back from the dead. You know, he's had no playoff basketball this year. Houston Rockets hopeless. He's finally come back.
I said hopeless. One season. I said hopeless,
mate. One season. Blame him, mate. He got no one to support this year.
He's dead, mate. Mate, he's got the first round pick next year, mate.
So, mate. Back to show his basketball knowledge. So,
first round pick next year, mate. Coming, mate. That's what I'm doing.
Nah, mate.
But, you can love what you want, mate. You ain't win no championship, mate. So,
yeah, that's what they always say, mate. You ain't win no chip.
So,
and that's typical Dexon for us, fellas. Typical Dexon.
Right. Yeah. Typical me, because I know the truth.
But today,
call me Paul Pierce, mate.
You have, of course.
The truth is that you're not winning the chip, mate.
Anyways, let's stay on topic. You got me, Tommy, here. We got Michael, of course, as you heard the introduction. And we've got Richard here today. And of course, we're going to be covering a couple of topics today, such as we're going to talk about the Los Angeles Clippers and their struggles and what this means for them in the playoffs against the Dallas Mavericks. We're also going to cover about Chris Paul. We're going to cover his curse and his injury history and will it cost our second seed Phoenix Suns. We're also going to discuss the Brooklyn Nets big three of James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving and how they're absolutely demolishing the Boston Celtics. Also going to talk about the playoff exit for the Warriors and what it means for Steph Curry's legacy. And last but not least, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, who did go out unexpectedly against the Miami Heat fifth seed last year. And this year, they are 2-0 up. And doesn't mean they've learned from last year. So, you know, we'll talk about the Los Angeles Clippers first, fellas. I mean, you guys know I'm a big Kawhi fan, you know. I appreciate his talents a lot, and I appreciate his demeanor a lot. You know, I mean, last game, put up 40 points in game two. Game one, anything can happen. You know, people are nervous. But now the Los Angeles Clippers are two games down. You know, we did hear that they apparently did tank to face the Dallas Mavericks, and it looks like it's backfiring. So, what's going on, fellas?
So, you know, it's funny.
What's funny?
I remember when Paul George and Kawhi signed for the Clippers last year. And the main thing people always spoke about was, oh, you've got the best two ways in the league. You've got Kawhi, Paul George. They can defend. They can lock up anyone. Patrick Beverley, best defensive guard. Even Patrick Beverley was telling Steph Curry that the last 5 years were yours. The next 5 years are mine and all that kind of rubbish. And it turns out that the Lakers are clear of the Clippers defensively. I mean, I watched Luka Doncic has been torturing them. Luka Doncic torched them last series, didn't it? Last year, but obviously Porzingis wasn't fit, so the Clippers were able to march on that series, didn't it? But this time, it's like they've come back. The Clippers look like they've come back hungry. Not Clippers, Mavericks look like they've come back hungrier. Luka Doncic, there's nothing. They try to put Paul George on him, he cooks him. Kawhi cooks him. Patrick Beverley puts him in the blender as well. And the screens, because obviously down the stretch, Luka's always looking to put Pat Beverley on him. And Paul George and Kawhi just give him the switch easy as well. So I do think that franchise, I can't lie, is cursed as far as I'm concerned. I don't think they're going to come back from this 2-0. I don't think they're mentally strong enough to do it. And assistant coach telling you, he doesn't have LeBron to bail him out this time. Like some decisions are like keeping Ibaka on the bench. Rondo didn't play the fourth quarter at all when he's meant to be the one to get people better looks down the stretch. I mean, the whole franchise just looked like a mess. And trading all them first round picks for this, if they do go out, it would be one of the biggest disasters in recent NBA history.
I mean, Michael, what's your thoughts on the Clippers this year? What's going on?
Clippers going to win, mate. They're going to win the chip.
Oh, really?
Nah, joking. Nah, joking. Hell no. They got a bottler mentality. Really and truly, what they're doing, Ty Lue, they got all their defensive schemes wrong. They can't be putting Pat Beverley on Luka Doncic. Even Paul George, they should put Kawhi on him, first and foremost.
How's Kawhi going to be the first option in offense and then guard Luka Doncic?
The 2-0 down, so what do you need to do? The 2-0 down, they need to make the adjustments. So That's what I suggest they should do then. Obviously, they're keeping, they're playing Zubac too many minutes. He's like a minus 47 in the combined games anyway. So obviously, they're putting him in the pick and roll and him putting Patrick Beverley in the pick and roll because they're not just switching everything anyway. And that they're switching too easily anyway. So what I'm saying is that they got to double him, double team him early, probably in the backcourt. In the backcourt when he has the ball, but give up the ball.
Another thing as well is Tommy's talking about how can Kawhi, which I kind of agree because obviously it does take a lot away from you defensively if you try and guard up the best player. But last 5 minutes of the game or during crunch time, like you just have to take that assignment if you are still the same opponent that you once were. Like crunch time isn't the time to start experimenting this and that. Last 5 minutes of the game and the game is closed, just take the league assignment. Like first maybe 40 minutes, do what you need to do to get in scoring position. But last 5 minutes, you have to take that assignment. And it looks like he doesn't want it.
Do you think this says more about Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks? Or do you think this says more about the Francis Clippers and the mentality?
Clippers and mentality.
Because honestly speaking, I do believe the Clippers can make
typical,
it out of the mark.
Typical Richard. I won't say Luka Doncic is a star. He's all about Luka, mate.
No.
Typical Richard.
No, it's
Luka, mate. Do you think Westbrook's doing that? I don't think so, mate.
First of all, the reason I'm saying Clippers is just because no one picked the Mavs to come out of the West. So the expectations of them are lower, whereas in after what the Clippers went through last year, there's now major expectation on them to produce this playoffs. And so far, they haven't done it. So it's clearly a mentality problem more on the... Like, what the Mavs are doing, obviously, I won't say it's unexpected because we know how great Luka is and they've got a great supporting cast as well. But there's a lot more expectation on... Like, if the Mavs end up beating this series, nothing is going to be said on Luka or the rest of the Mavs. They'll get credit for taking them 6 games. Whereas if the Clippers lose, it's a different story.
Go about Luka, mate. Well, mate, don't forget, Clippers beat these lot last year, 4-2. So, it's not a mentality. I don't think it's a mentality problem. They beat this lot, so they should expect them to beat them again. But obviously, no one expected them to be 2-0 down and have home court advantage. So, I'm saying it's all about Luka playmaking. Like, basically averaging, 39-8, I think it was, against these, like, in all the games he's played, including last year as well, in the playoffs as well. So, I think it's more about Luka and making his teammates better as well, especially Tim Hardaway. They're making shots as well. Porzingis as well, he's stepped up a little bit as well. But I think it's just about Luka and his star power around the Dallas Mavericks, man. He's a truly, and some saying he's a top 10 player in the league. Even could be top 5.
I mean, to be honest, we know Kawhi is going to score on offense. We know Paul George is going to score on offense. They did come back with 70 points last game. But I will say this series does depend on the hands of Ty Lue. At the end of the day, Clippers on offense ain't a problem. But now it's about how good a coach is Ty Lue. Can he match the skill of Rick Carlisle, and can he make adjustments needed to stop Luka Doncic? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many points Kawhi scores, clearly Luka Doncic is going to affect more on the offense, and that's going to beat the Clippers. So this defense we're hearing about from the Clippers, the lockdown, the best wing duo since Scottie and MJ, we better see assistant coach Ty Lue become head coach Ty Lue this series. So, you know, we got a long series ahead. And,
the Lakers are clear of them defensively.
Yeah, and speaking of the Lakers, I mean, the Lakers are playing, of course, the Phoenix Suns, you know, who did grab the second seed. You know, they've come into their first playoff series this year in about 13 years since Steve Nash. And what? You know, they've been spearheaded by Chris Paul, and they did take game one, you know, an emphatic win. But, of course, in game one, Chris Paul did pick up an injury. And let's be honest, that's something we haven't not heard before. Of course, I mean, Michael is, you know, a Houston Rocket fan, and he has been through the Chris Paul curse. So, you know what, Michael, start this off.
Hell no.
I mean, tell us, you think Chris Paul...
Should be champion in 2018, everyone knows this.
Well, should've, could've, would've.
Yeah, all of that. It's not his fault, though.
So, do you think Chris Paul's curse will cost the Suns this year? What do you think has happened?
I don't think he cost the Suns because you can't blame him for getting a normal injury. can't say it's not his fault that he got his normal basketball injury. You can't blame him. Anyway, but obviously the Suns, they got Devin Booker and Aiden, but they are a young team, so I don't expect them. I expect it to get like this next three games. I think it's going to be a gentleman sweep anyway. So either way, but even if CP in the game, in playing, I still think Lakers will beat them in five games anyway. So
it's funny. What's funny is that obviously I actually agree what Dex said, didn't it? But Dex is not allowed to make that point simply because I know another point guard that was injured in the bubble last year and he still wanted them to perform to the best.
He was not injured. Don't give me that rubbish, please.
But Chris Paul still played. So, I don't know.
What's the point you're trying to make?
No, I'm trying to say is keep the same energy. Stop doing one for one player and a
role for another player.
All I'm saying is when Westbrook was hurt last year, and Walsh said that Westbrook should not be on the basketball court anyway. But
he played. That's Westbrook's fault.
But Chris Paul's playing as well, so I'm saying.
I'm not blaming him, mate.
Anyways, but back to the topic. What I'm saying is that obviously I'm not going to blame Chris Paul because he got injured in which I don't know, the injury was kind of weird, innit? But I thought the Lakers were going to win anyways with Chris Paul being fit. And then now Chris Paul is down. They've lost their leader, the clutch player. And he looks like he's been struggling as well. So
I think Chris Paul can get through this injury. But if I am the Phoenix Suns, I'm resting for game three. The momentum is, of course, going to be on the side of the Lakers. And they're probably going to take game three. So there's no... And also going to be a staple center. There is, to me, you may as well rest Chris Paul game three. You know, let him heal up a little bit and game four go all out. If they do win game three, you're benefiting from it. If they don't win it, Chris Paul gets a couple extra days rest, come with some painkiller, and we go again. Because if you do lose game three, it doesn't matter if you score 30 points, Chris Paul, you lost the game and you're washing the shoulder even more. We did see 2 years ago in the 2019 Western Conference playoffs, we saw Enes Kanter. He did have a shoulder injury and he played through it, even through Ramadan as well. And what? It did take Portland to the Western Conference finals. But at the end of the day, they did rest him for some games or taking him out some of the minutes so he can heal up. So I do think the same thing should apply to Chris Paul. But we're going to see. It looks like we're in for a hell of a series. It's going to be Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton against Anthony Davis and, of course, LeBron James. But, you know. Goats. And speaking of goats, you know, people are even saying over the other side, back in Brooklyn, you know, in New York, they're saying that this big three we're seeing could be the greatest of all time trio we've seen offensively. And I mean, you know, the Brooklyn Nets, they've only played about 8 regular season games together, you know, and maybe 2 playoff games together. You know, James Harden coming from injury, given the rant, you know, minutes restrictions, load management, and Kyrie Irving's personal issues. Well, you know, they've been in the playoffs now, and they're playing against the Boston Celtics, who are without Jaylen Brown, but they've absolutely obliterated them. So, fellas, what does this say about the Brooklyn Nets and the Eastern Conference? Should everyone be scared of them?
Yeah, you should be scared of them.
The Milwaukee Bucks shouldn't be scared of them. What I would say is that, if I would say, Blake Griffin owes Detroit an apology for hiding all that. Obviously, he's still not a Blake Griffin of old, but you just don't lose your ability and then you join a new team and all of a sudden you get it back. Like, it's just what he did in Detroit, it's a disgrace, but the way they play is like, now Blake Griffin and Joe Harris now get so many open looks to do what they want. And then the players coming off the bench can go ahead freely as well. So, in terms of, should the Celtics be afraid? Definitely, but in terms of the Bucks, I don't think so, just because they have no answer for Giannis. Like, remember, the Brooklyn Nets are still not a great defensive team, while the Bucks are a great defensive team. And, of course, you can't lock up Harden, Giannis, or Kyrie, but you can slow them down enough. And with Blake Griffin potentially playing the center, that's barbecue chicken for Giannis. Yeah, and even Brook Lopez as well. He's been in the post a bit more slow. And I like what the Bucks did in the regular season as well, in terms of, because last 2 years, they kind of steamroll the regular season and it ends up catching them in the playoffs. This time I have seen that they've taken the ball out of Giannis's hands a bit more while bringing up the court. So it's like they put Giannis in his position to score and then he works from there instead of making him a rim runner, bringing the ball up 94 feet. So I do think that has helped the Bucks as well. Obviously, I'm still going to pick the Nets, but I do think there are some changes that the Bucks have made that has benefited them so far in the playoffs.
Why we keep talking about Bucks? They're not through yet. They're not through yet. Still got to go past Miami. So it's game three tonight, isn't it? So I'm saying if Miami get one game, there'll be some doubt. Especially in Tommy's head, some doubt. There'll be some doubt from last year, man.
Seeing the Brooklyn Nets on their big three, you know, there is reason to believe some doubt, you know. Offensively, they look unstoppable. You know, if Curry wants to have his goal, he's going to have his goal. James Harden wants to have his goal, he's going to have his goal. KD, we ain't going to say much more about him. But I mean, at the end of the day, they play against Boston for a week. No, Boston doesn't have any motivation. If I'm Boston, I got no motivation for this season. So, you know, yeah. I need a bigger sample size, you know.
I mean, let's come. What was the regular season series between you two? Between you two, then.
I'm pretty sure.
And Bucks.
2-1 to the Bucks.
Giannis took them twice.
2-1 to the Bucks.
Took them twice.
Was KD playing?
The average in those. Giannis had 49 and 40, actually. So he's telling me Giannis averaged about how many points?
Oh yeah, he's Giannis gonna guard KD, yeah.
So Giannis averaged around 40 points against the Nets last year. Oh, okay, we'll take that.
But one thing I would say, James Harden didn't play those two games. And obviously, if you go and check us on Out of Bounds on Instagram, you will see that video uploaded of when Giannis Harden locked up Giannis back-to-back possessions. Could you see more of the same in the playoffs? Only time will tell. But, so Harden didn't play those games, which are like extra points, extra assists. The Brooklyn has missed out, and it's regular season anyway, so you don't want to get too carried away.
And it's been regular season, you know, we saw Steph Curry cook up the whole regular season. You know, last year, everybody talked about how Steph Curry got the league. You know, he had a hand injury, apparently, and ran away. No Clay, no Draymond, you know, no KD. This year, he had a point to prove, and he put arguably his best season ever, statistically. And this year, you know, we take the Warriors to the play-in, of course, and he put a show on for us. But unfortunately, Ja Morant showed who the hell he was this year. He showed us who the hell he is, and Steph Curry had to go home. So let me ask you guys, what does this say about Steph Curry? I mean, if it was James Harden, I think we'd be pretty confident James Harden would take this team to the playoffs. I mean, he's taken worse teams in the Houston Rockets to the playoffs. So Steph Curry can't do that. Does it mean that without the likes of KD, without the likes of Clay, you know, Steph Curry really can't lead an offense by himself? What do you guys think?
Obviously, not everybody can be Westbrook and carry a poor team to the playoffs. But in regards to Steph Curry's case, so he can carry a team in it. And I do think, like, obviously, when you speak about what, let's just say, James Harden and all them other players did, it's a bit different just simply because they didn't have that playing stuff. And in fairness to Steph Curry, I will give it to him. He did finish the AFC. So he really did already make the playoffs, but you know how the playing works. And
all see, that kind of stuff. Anything could have happened, mate. Anything could have happened.
I know, but what I'm saying is that I don't think it has that much of a... If I don't think it hurts his legacy at all, if I'm being honest. But one thing I will say is that I do think Steph Curry is more of like a ceiling raiser than a floor raiser. If that, like, if your team is rubbish and you need someone to carry you, there are other players that I'd rather have, like, let's just say James Harden, even though I think Curry's better. But if you already have a team and you're looking for, like, the piece to then carry you to the promised land, then I do think that's when Steph Curry becomes your guy. And I do think another thing as well is that when you look at the way Golden State played at the beginning of the season until now, they were still trying to run those plays that they were running when KD and Clay were still there, whereas instead Curry didn't have the ball in his hands majority of the time, and it wasn't working. So they did change up midway through the season, whereas Steph Curry had the ball in his hands more. He had more ISO plays. Whereas if they did at the beginning of the season, it could have even been a different story. So I don't think it hurts his legacy at all. It just, as I said, I just see more of a ceiling raiser than a floor raiser.
What's your thoughts, Michael?
About Curry, carrying a team, it's not that deep, technically. I don't know why people are so onto him, but he can carry a team. Like, technically, he got the eighth seed anyway, so technically, he's carried them technically into the playoffs by standings, isn't it? So, and then again, average, what, over 30 points per game, so don't, what's the problem, mate? Nothing, it's not his fault that his teammates are rubbish. They can't hit shots, they can't hit threes. Like, Draymond Green still has got a shot. You know, consistent. Obviously, people compare, but it's not his fault. These teammates are not just in that Warrior system. They got able to hit consistently from three, you know, so jump shot. So it's not his fault. Even players have been injured on his team. His teammates been injured in it, most of them, especially Wiseman. He can hit a few shots on three. They haven't got a really big man like that anyway. So basically, they're playing small ball more or less for the last like 20. 30 games of the season, but Wiseman anyway. So, and then you can say, but he still, man, he can basically carry the team. Did what he did. He's an MVP candidate. So, what do you expect then? So, he can carry a team. I don't want people to say because he needs to make to the playoffs that he needs to be make comparisons. Technically, he made the eighth seed. Did what he can do, innit? Not much he can do on his part. So, you can't blame him anyway.
One thing I would say is I don't think Steph Curry should have been top three MVP candidate. I think he should have been top five, but not top three.
Do you top three then?
I do think Giannis should have been there instead. Or even maybe Chris Paul, because obviously statistically he didn't match up, but then obviously you saw what he did with the Suns. But I do think Giannis was probably the third best player in the regular season when you look at the way his team were winning and what he put up as well. So, but I think it's narrative based in a way. I think Steph Curry was top five, but I think narrative took him into the top three. I do think Giannis should have been third instead. He should have, Giannis should have won it, but I think he should have been third over Curry.
Speaking of Giannis, you know, last and not least, we haven't talked about the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan. I love a Milwaukee Bucks and I'm very much a big appreciator of the Giannis Antetokounmpo. Last year, we bowed out to the Miami Heat. You know, unfortunately, of course, we did get locked up extremely bad. And, you know, this year, we are playing the Miami Heat. And some people said the Miami Heat would take the series. But so far, actually, the Bucks have taken it in two. And they've done it very convincingly in the second game. The first game, it took the heroics of Chris Middleton, you know, to secure that lead in the clutch. But, of course, the second game was one of the biggest blowouts you're going to see in playoff history. So, do you guys have hope that the Bucks are going to smash the Miami Heat, or do you think that the series isn't over at all?
Probably go five games. Lucky. Mm.
Wait. What about that chat you had earlier, mate? I thought you said Miami Heat aren't done.
I didn't say you're losing the series. I didn't say that. So if you lose one game, there might be a fair of doubt. I didn't say that, you're going to go out. I'm saying there might be a doubt. I still expect you. Well, technically, actually, you should be sweeping that, I think, but
be sweeping them.
Yes. Should be sweeping them. Mm. Don't you have a better team? Do you do well? You got a better point guard upgrade last year. I remember you talked last year. Yeah, Eric Bledsoe.
Which little old Milwaukee, mate.
Dominate point guard in the league, I was told. I was told that last season so many times. Where is he? Where is he now?
God. But for ones that don't know, he's talking about Eric. So you know, Eric last year was on a multi box.
And by the way, that Miami Heat, that Miami Heat crowd, mate. Oof.
I said that we can't underestimate the impact Bledsoe had to the Heat last season.
You know what? I can't undermine the Miami Heat because I know these guys can play for adversity. What I will say is, it's not looking very promising for them. Jimmy Butler's shot looks absolutely broken. Bam Adebayo doesn't know what the hell he's doing on offense. And I'm going to be honest, he hasn't got a length to score past Brook Lopez. You know, Giannis and Brook Lopez are taking turns on Bam. And let's be honest, as great a player Bam is, that's more on a defensive end than he is on offensive end. He's not scoring against Brook Lopez, let alone Giannis. So in the day, they now got who? They like Duncan Robinson and I like Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero's never played much. Robinson is a shooter, but you need to open look. You got Dragic, the year older than last year. I mean, so I don't know what to see. I mean, they need to do that to really rise up and take the stand. But honestly speaking, I think star power wins. And the Bucks have improved from last year. Middleton looks better. Drew Holiday is a future for the blitzer. And Giannis has a damn well pointed team this year. Oh, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a sweep, mate.
No, but I can't believe the man he didn't want to trade Tyler Hero for James Harden. But they deserve this anyway, because and they're not the same, they're not exactly the same team. Like, you've got Trevor Reeves instead of Jay Crowder. So who Jay Crowder fit into that Miami team more. As I said, they did trade some pieces for Oladipo, or the deeper Clement State fitted onto the floor. Jimmy Butler is nowhere near. I saw that picture about how Jimmy Butler stupidly locked in, and he doesn't look like he's doing it. Like, obviously, he came in clutch to take that game to overtime, but that was more to do with Giannis being lazy and defensive, anything. So, I don't know. Miami just don't have it the same.
You know why Giannis did that? You know why he did that? Remember last year, the game two, that ghost foul on Jimmy Butler, remember?
No, and then the one when you ran into him on the 3-point line.
Yeah. So I think what happened this year, Giannis didn't win again and won unfair and lose the game. So that's probably why he didn't risk it. It's better to risk a 2-pointer than a possible 3-pointer. You know, Bob has a history of doing some crazy fouls. So, you know, that does show the growth of the Bucks, and be honest, the maturity of them, you know, from last year. Let's be honest, as great as Miami is, they are relying on the wall to stop the Bucks. And this year, it's not like there's going to be a war this year. I mean, and I can't see, unless something special happens, Allah, I can't see much going on with this team. And people might have said the bubble last year was very fraudulent, you know.
Some people like acting completely different.
I mean, Tyler Hero, cough, cough. I mean, but you know, I mean,
hey, Mark, you got in the finals. What about yours?
No, yeah. Curry. But that's not even. But anyways, whatever happened, whatever the Bucks do the series, anyways, less than six. I'm calling it here right now. The Brooklyn Nets and six.
Brooklyn Nets against who?
Milwaukee when they face each other. So whatever adjustments Milwaukee thought they made, the Brooklyn Nets are taking them out anyways.
I'll say that too.
Well,
Wizards and six, by the way.
I think I said it earlier today.
Wizards and six,
man. Even the Wizards trade Burton's or they trade Westbrook. I don't want to watch that guy again.
All right, so why you want Westbrook to get traded again?
Well, I just don't want to play with Burton's.
So you support the Wizards then?
No, I don't support.
Yeah, you do, man. You do, mate.
No, you don't, mate.
This is what I got to tell you. I told you so, mate. I kept quiet. I told you so. Me and Gabe told you so, mate. When the playoffs, the big lights shine, he does not shine at all, mate. There you go. No,
actually, you guys told me that Houston won the trade.
Yeah, you did. We have won the trade.
What trade?
You won the trade.
You're
going to get bounced in the first one for what?
For what?
You're gonna get bounced. Well, what happens? What's the end result of that? You're out of the playoffs. What happens now?
Mate, that Westbrook trying to take Washington into the playoffs.
Now you're saying Westbrook wants to be traded. You want Westbrook to get traded now?
No, I'm saying I want him to be.
You just saying Westbrook to get traded now.
Yeah, I said that. You want the trade then?
You want the trade? Yeah. And you even said that Houston want to trade as well.
One team is in the playoffs. The other team.
The players get bounced in the first round.
Well, because at least
you want to trade, get to the conference finals, mate. Well, conference semifinals.
They're facing a way superior team.
Don't matter. You qualified. You asked for it. They shouldn't even be in the way. There should be at least a fifth seed, with the best one of the best backcourts in the league. But okay then.
Yeah, but that's because it was injury at the beginning
of
the season.
Oh, injury! Here comes the old injury card.
What do you mean the whole injury card,
mate? All right, mate.
Tom Quad.
All right, mate. That's his problem then. Why is he playing then?
Like, Wait, ask the coach.
How's he playing then? He's got a phone call. There you go, mate. Well, I know. I already know what happens next season. Obviously, the rebuild of Houston Rockets. Don't be. Just watch us, mate. Just watch us. Build around the young core. Don't worry. Yeah, I don't care who stays or go. Build our young core. I know the future already. Easy peasy. We'll be back.
Okay, see,
you don't support them, so don't worry talking about them.
I'm investing, what's it called? I'm investing in stocks.
Oh, no, I got a question. Which name the starting five at SGA?
Wait, that's not a point.
Yeah, I'm asking you now. Name the starting five. I'm putting you on the spot right now on the pod. What is the starting five OKC team right now by SGA?
Fellas, I appreciate the passion, but we are running off schedule.
No, wait. Before we finish, I need to ask this question first.
No, but
Richard, what is the starting five of OKC?
No, but what I'm saying is that, think of this point OKC like this. I'm investing stocks, so if them drop picks turn out to be good, I can say I was still there.
Mate, just answer the damn question. Answer the damn question.
Mate, they're playing G League players. How am I meant to know who they are?
There you go. You don't watch the games, so you know. End of discussion. Yeah, end of discussion.
You don't watch Houston Rockets.
I do. You think I don't? I actually do.
What are you watching them for?
Because I want to see my team. I support them. What the fuck? I watch them. That's my team. What the hell? You think I don't watch them? I only watch at least 10. I watch 10 in the games to see when I have time.
Fellas.
Anyway, we're done. Yeah, we're done.
Please. You know, I appreciate the passion, you know, the Rockets, OKC, but this is not what it is about today. This is about playoff basketball, and those two teams are not about playoff basketball, fellas.
What? So, Tommy, you'll be joining us soon as well.
No. But, you know, I hope you guys did enjoy, you know, this conversation. And, you know, we do plan to talk a bit more later on in the week. We're going to cover other teams, going to cover other games, going to cover the drama in the NBA. No, this is playoff basketball, man. It's on for the summer. You're going to hear a lot of us out of bounds. We're coming for all of you guys. So, you know,
stay tight. On Instagram, at @usofbounds_UK.
That's right. And we're out. Oh, he stared at Wesley.